This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome to our continuing coverage. My name is Tony Bruschi. Let's go back to the courtroom for our second segment of coverage.
All right. Thank you. You may call your next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. To Mr. Conrad.
State calls Anthony Nisht.
Raise your right hand, left hand on the Bible. Do you affirm the testimony about to give before you this trial shall be the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Even the witness saying, state your name again for the record. Spell your last name, please.
My name is Michael Anthony Knitch.
Mr. Knitch, how are you doing, sir?
Great, how are you?
Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Knitch.
All right. And where are you employed, sir?
Verizon Wireless.
And what are your duties there?
In this capacity, I'm a custodian of records.
All right. And so it's in its normal course of business, does Verizon keep records?
That is correct.
And does it keep call records?
That is correct.
Just generally speaking, what kind of records does Verizon keep in relation to phone accounts and call records?
Subscriber information, cellular data, which could be telephone calls, text message, data sessions.
Okay. All right, and these have been previously shown to counsel. I'm going to show you what's been marked in the state's exhibit 268. And I'm going to ask you if you recognize that, sir.
I do.
And what is that?
State's exhibit 268 is Alex Murtaugh's telephone number 803-942-1227.
Okay, and have you reviewed the contents of that CD?
I have.
And what is the contents of on that CD?
Subscriber information, cellular data information, text messages, anything related to billing purposes of Verizon Wireless.
Okay. And was that were those records previously turned over to law enforcement?
In request to a search warrant, they were.
All right. And you've reviewed those records, correct?
I have.
After reviewing them, are those true and authentic copies of the records that are kept by Verizon?
They are.
All right. And those are related to Alex Murdaugh's Verizon account, sir?
That is correct.
With the number ending in 1227?
That is correct.
All right. At this time, state moves to enter Exhibit 268 into evidence.
No objection, Your Honor.
It's admitted.
I'm going to approach and hand you State's Exhibit 269. Do you recognize that, sir?
I do.
And what is that?
State's Exhibit 269, Paul, cell phone 803-842-7845.
And have you had an opportunity to review the contents of that CD?
I have.
And what is the contents of that CD?
Cellular information, subscriber information, in response to a search warrant.
Okay. And are the contents of that CD true and accurate copies of records kept by Verizon in normal course of business?
They are.
And at this time, State would move to enter Exhibit 269 into evidence.
No objection, Your Honor.
Submit it.
And I'm going to hand you, this is Exhibit 265, so a little bit out of order. And do you recognize that, sir?
I do.
What is that?
State's Exhibit 265, Maggie, cell phone 803-842-9041.
All right. Have you had an opportunity to review the contents of that CD?
I have.
What are the contents of that CD?
Subscriber information, cellular data information in response to a search warrant.
All right. And that's in relation to the number associated with Paul, is that correct?
Maggie.
Oh, excuse me, yes, Maggie. And what's the last four digits of that number?
9041.
Okay. All right. And that's Exhibit 265, correct?
That is correct.
All right. And at this time, State would move to enter Exhibit 265 into evidence.
No objection, Your Honor.
I'm going to approach and
approach, and I'm going to hand you what's labeled as State's Exhibit 262. Do you recognize that, sir?
I do.
Without reading a phone number, full phone number, what is that?
State's Exhibit 262, Claude Rowe Records.
All right. And have you had an opportunity to review the contents of that CD?
I have.
And what are the contents of that CD?
Subscriber information, salary data information in response to a search warrant.
All right. And those are related to the account associated with Claude Rowe, correct?
That is correct.
And there is a phone number associated. We're just not going to read it in the record. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. At this time, and what number is that?
State's Exhibit 262.
So this time, State will move to enter Exhibit 262 into evidence.
No objection.
Admit it.
I'm going to approach and hand you State's Exhibit 263. Do you recognize that, sir?
I do.
And what is that?
State's Exhibit 263, Marty Cook.
All right. And is there a phone number associated with that without reading it?
There is.
And that's a Verizon phone number, correct?
That is correct.
What are the contents of that CD?
Subscriber information, cellular data information in response to a search warrant.
And you've had an opportunity to review that, correct?
I have.
And those are a copy of the same records that were provided to law enforcement pursuant to a search warrant. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. And what number was that again?
State's Exhibit 263.
All right. This time, State will need to enter Exhibit 263 into evidence.
I'm sorry, I couldn't. Whose number is that?
That is State's Exhibit 263. What's the name on that account?
Marty Cook.
No objection.
Let's admit it.
All right, I'm going to hand you State's Exhibit 264. And do you recognize that, sir?
I do.
And what is that, sir?
State's Exhibit 264, Rogan.
All right, and is there a phone number associated with that?
There is.
All right, and we're not going to read that into the record, but have you had an opportunity to review the contents of that CD?
I have.
And what are the contents of that CD?
Subscriber information, salary data information in response to a search warrant.
All right, and the contents of that CD are an accurate copy of the original records provided by Verizon to law enforcement pursuant to a search warrant?
They are.
Okay. All right, and that's Exhibit 264, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, at this time, State will move to enter Exhibit 264 into evidence.
No objection.
Submit it.
I hand you this marked as State's Exhibit 266. And you recognize that, sir?
I do.
All right, and what is that?
State's Exhibit 266. Connor Cook Records.
And is there a Verizon associate and account associated with those with Connor Cook?
There is.
Have you had an opportunity to review the contents of that CD?
I have.
Right. And what is the contents of that CD?
Subscriber information, cellular data information in response to a search warrant.
All right. And that's a true and accurate copy of the records originally provided by Verizon to law enforcement pursuant to search warrant?
That is correct.
All right. And what's that number you have again?
State's Exhibit 266.
All right, this time, State will move to enter Exhibit 266 into evidence.
No objection.
Admit it.
And last one, this is State's Exhibit 267. I'm going to hand this to you. Do you recognize that, sir?
I do.
Do you recognize that?
I do.
All right, and what is that?
State's Exhibit 267. Buster cellular information.
And there's a number and a Verizon account associated with Buster's phone records?
That is correct.
We're not going to read that number to the record, but have you had an opportunity to review the contents of that CD?
I have.
All right. And what is the contents of that CD?
Subscriber information, cellular data information in response to a search warrant.
All right. And is that an accurate copy of the records originally provided by Verizon to law enforcement in response to a search warrant?
They are.
All right. And what number do you have? What number is that again?
State's Exhibit 267.
All right. At this time, State will move to enter Exhibit 267 in evidence.
No objection.
Submit it.
going to hand you, this is marked as on the back, as State's Exhibit 270. Do you recognize that, sir?
I do.
Okay. And what is that?
This would be a key that is used to explain the VoLTE call detail with cell site explanation.
And is that originally come from a PDF provided with each of these search warrant returns?
That is correct.
And so that document will be found on each of those CDs, correct?
That is correct.
And this is just a printed out version?
That is correct.
But is it exactly similar to the explainer on contained on those CDs, correct?
Yes, sir.
And at this time, State would move to Exhibit 270 into evidence.
No objection.
Submit it.
All right, sir. So let's talk about that document you have in your hands. I think you told us kind of what it is, but can you give us a little more detail? What does that do, and how does that help someone looking at these records?
In response to a search warrant, Verizon provides a key to be able to read the records that were provided. So this particular record is a VoLTE call detail record key.
Okay, all right. I'm going to take this to you. And I think the Elmo is still up. We need the Elmo up, please. Okay, so looking at Exhibit 270, State's Exhibit 270, we see several columns of information across that. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Can you read from your screen there, sir? Can you read some of that information?
Yes, sir. The first column is record open date and time. The second, would you like me to read up across?
Well, let's lay a little more foundation. The records that are provided on those CDs, and what they're in digital format, correct?
That is correct.
And what program are they sent in?
Excel.
Okay, Excel format. That's a spreadsheet, correct?
That is correct.
And so when we look at these records, they're all provided in the columns in the Excel spreadsheet, correct?
That is correct.
And each column going left to right is a different sort of information that is on the records, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. And so we'll look at an example in a few minutes, but this is the key to look at to understand what each column is in reference to, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So let's look at the far left column, and I believe that says record open date time. What does that mean, sir?
That would be the date and time the call record transpired in local time.
In local time, okay. And what's the second column from the left?
That would be the date and time the call transpired in Greenwich Mean Time.
Okay. In Greenwich Mean Time, is that also known as Universal Time?
That is correct.
And on June 7th of 2021, do you know the approximate offset for local time and Eastern Time with Greenwich Mean Time? Would it surprise you if I said it was 4 hours difference?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Okay. Going to the third from the left column, what is that?
That is the serving system ID.
And what does that mean?
That's a network name on Verizon from which the call transpired.
Okay. And what is the column next to that? I believe it's labeled NID.
That would be the switch number that Verizon uses to route.
Okay. And what is a switch, generally speaking?
It would be what it's considered a hub for multi-cell towers.
Okay. So multiple cell towers be connected to one switch.
That is correct.
And then going next, cell ID, what is that column?
That would be the specific cell tower that the target number used to make the cellular data connection.
Okay. And that's the actual tower that a particular call was routed through, correct?
That is correct.
And the next column says cell face. What is that? What does
that mean? Would be the cell face that the cellular data connection transpired over. There's typically three faces on each cell tower.
Okay. And next we see market ID. What is that?
That's fair. That is the the switch number. So in some records, it'll have that listed. So it's the same thing as the NID, but depending on the specific record, which column will be used.
Okay. And then next column says END. What is that?
It's a six-digit cell tower number. The first three digits is the market ID, and the last three digits is the tower identification.
Okay. Next column says DIR. What does that show for, and what does it mean?
That's the direction that the call transpired over the Verizon network.
And when you say direction, you mean incoming call or outgoing call? That sort of direction, not north, south, east, or west, right?
That is correct.
All right. The next column says NSISDN. What does that mean, sir?
That is the Verizon subscriber number that the record is for.
Okay. And it says this is your target number, and that's in reference to the search warrant, correct?
That is correct.
And so when a search warrant asks for records for a certain number, that's the target number, correct?
That is correct.
And that's what that column identifies, correct?
That is correct.
And next column says called number. What does that mean?
This is the number dialed to initiate the call. For inbound calls, this number will be the same as the mobile directory number, MSISDN column, and the out calls, this is the number your target dialed.
Okay. So simplifying it, it's simply the number that was called when someone placed a phone call, correct?
That is correct.
Next column is CPN. What is that, sir?
This is the calling party number that initiated the call. If the call is outbound, this column will be the same as the mobile directory number, MSISDN. If the call is inbound, this is a number that dialed your target.
Okay. And the next column says SOU. What is that, sir?
Seconds of duration.
Okay, and that's how long the call lasted, correct?
That is correct.
And the next column says RAT. What does that mean, sir?
That is the type of cellular connection that the data session or call transpired over.
Okay. And so we see several different categories underneath that. I see a 3G voice, 4G voice, and some others. What does that stuff mean?
The Verizon wireless technology that's used to allow that call to take place.
Okay. So 3G and 4G are different types of technology Verizon uses?
That is correct.
And depending on which tower, and where the phone is located, it could be a call could be routed over 3G or 4G. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Getting pretty close to the end here. The next column says VICE, VICE endpoints. What does that mean, sir?
It's a VoLTE connection with an endpoint. So that's a type of device that can boost the Verizon signal. It's an indicator if that was used or not.
Okay. And you call it VoLTE. What is that?
Voice over LTE. It's a type of technology similar to the 4G.
Okay. And that's a voice call that's routed over the digital network, correct?
That is correct.
And finally, we see VZWNE, network extender. Excuse me. What is that column, sir?
That is a device that allows consumers to connect to a network extender to boost their indoor coverage. So there'd be a difference in the call type listed in the records.
So Verizon provides to certain customers network extenders for them to use in buildings to help them connect calls in buildings. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And if a call were routed through such a connector, it would be listed in that column.
That is correct.
Okay, I'd like to switch over to the laptop, please. I'm going to hand you back Exhibit 270 in case you need to look at it here.
All right.
And I'm going to pull up some of the records that were provided that we just talked about on those CDs. And the first one I'll pull up is the one associated with Maggie Murdahl, and her number ends in 9041. And I believe that comes from the exhibit. That's State's Exhibit 265.
And let me get rid of the annoying. Okay, so we're going to scroll down. And we're going to talk about a couple of these calls just so the jury understands or can understand some of these records. And I went too far. Bear with me, please. Okay, I've highlighted column 1846 on this spreadsheet. Can you see that, sir?
I can.
Okay. So let's walk through this particular call. All right. The far left column A, we see a number there. What is that number, sir?
That's the phone number that was associated with the search warrant.
Okay. And that's the 9041 number, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And column B, I see a date that says May 1st of 21. What is that date, sir?
That was the date that the search warrant started the request for the search warrant.
Okay. So when law enforcement sent a search warrant to Verizon, they requested a date, a record starting on May 1st. Is that correct?
That is correct.
May 1st, 2021. And then the next column says June 10th of 2021. What is that date, sir?
That is the last day that was requested on the search warrant.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So in this case, June 10th was the last date from that search warrant.
That is correct.
All right. Okay. So let's look at column D. And what is column D in this record?
That is the time that the actual call took place in local time.
Okay. And what time is that?
19:50 and 20 seconds.
All right. Can you convert military to civilian time? Are you good at it?
I am not good at it.
Okay. So generally you subtract 12. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So would that be 7:50 p.m.?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. And then the next column, we see it says June 7, 2021 at 23:50. What is that column?
That's the record in Greenwich Mean Time.
All right. And so that's in the universal time, correct?
That is correct.
And can you convert that to local time? Well, subtracting 12, would it be 11?
It would be 11.
50 p.m.?
50 p.m.
Okay. All right, next column, there's a digit that says 13. What is that digit, sir?
Can you scroll to the top where I can see the header on that?
And we're looking at column I.
That is the cell face number.
All right, and so that is the direction based off what you previously testified, that is the direction the call is in the sector from the tower, correct?
That is correct.
I'm going to scroll back down. Okay, we're back on June 7th, and we're back at column 1846. So we just said the 13 was the direction from the tower, correct?
That is correct.
All right, and so we see a number next to that says 459. What is that number, sir?
That is the market ID.
Okay. And that and market ID, again, what does that mean?
That would be the switch on Verizon Wireless Network.
Okay. All right. And then next to that is column K, and that says there's a digit that says 459240. What is that, sir?
That is the ENID. The first three digits are the switch. The second three digits are the cell tower information.
Okay. So that identifies the actual tower that that call is routed through, correct?
That is correct.
And then next to that, in column L, we see MO. What does that mean, sir?
Mobile originated.
All right, and what does that mean?
The cell phone in question to the search warrant originated the call.
So this means this call is placed with Maggie's phone, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And then next to that, we see a phone number in column M, and it ends in 9041. Is that to target a phone number?
That is correct.
And next to that, we see a number that ends in 0853. What is that in column M?
That was the number that 9041 dialed.
Okay. And then column O, and we see that 9041 number again. And remind us what that, why that number is there again.
That was the number that dialed the 0853.
Okay. And then next column P, we see 165, digit of 165. What does that mean?
That is time in seconds.
Okay. So that's how long the call lasted?
That is correct.
Okay. And then column Q, it says LTE. What does that mean?
That's the Verizon technology type that was used to make the call. Okay,
so this call is routed over LTE, correct?
That is correct.
And that's a 4G technology?
That is correct.
Okay. So let's look at the column below that, and that's column 1847. And let's just go ahead and look directly at column D. And that's the date where it says 2021-6801-04-24. Remind us again what that column means.
Which column?
Column D. And we see the date of June 8th of 2021, and it is a time that says 0104-24.
That is the time in Greenwich Mean Time.
Okay. Now, you previously testified that in column D, that time is normally provided in local time. Is that correct?
That is correct.
But in this particular record, we see a time in Greenwich Mean Time, correct?
That is correct.
Why is this, in this particular call, why is it in Greenwich Mean Time?
Because this call connected to Verizon, but the call was not answered on the cellular connection and routed to voicemail.
Okay. So, because the this call was not picked up, the call is routed to Verizon server, right?
That is correct.
And because of that, Verizon records the record in Greenwich Mean Time.
That is correct.
Okay. But I hate to do this, but let's convert that back into local time. So subtract 4 from 0104-24. And would that yield a time of 9:04:24 in Eastern Time, sir?
That would be correct.
Okay. P.M., correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Well, let's skip over. Column I, column J, and column K. I believe you said previously column K was the digit associated with the particular tower it calls routed through, correct?
That is correct.
Well, here we see in this one, N.A., is that what that says?
That is correct.
What does that mean? Why does it say NA?
Well, the call didn't actually connect to a cell tower. When the call didn't answer and it routed to voicemail, it's an internal routing, so there would be no cellular data as far as cell tower information provided.
Okay. So a call was placed to the 9041 number, correct?
That is correct.
And the 901 phone most likely rang, correct?
That is correct.
But no one answered.
That is correct.
And so Verizon did not record a particular cell tower associated with that call. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. Well, let's finish up with this record. Column M, again, that's the target number, correct? 9041?
That is correct.
All right. And then we see in calling in, as in November, 9041 again, the same number. And what does that mean?
That means the 1227 number dial the 9041.
Okay. All right. And no one answered, correct?
That is correct.
I skipped over column L. It says MT. And what does that mean?
Mobile terminated.
Okay. And so that call was not, in fact, completed, correct?
It was forwarded to voicemail.
Okay. All right. And after that 9:04 p.m. phone call, we see multiple more calls to Maggie's phone, correct? Correct?
That is correct.
All right. And are any of those calls answered according to the records that Verizon keeps?
They are not.
All right. I'm going to shift to pulling up the call records for the number ending in 1227. And that is State's Exhibit. ...268, and that's the number associated with Alex Murdaugh's phone, correct?
That is correct.
All right, bear with me. Okay, and let's look at column 2371. All right, you see that on your screen, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, and we see a time, and a column D, and that says June 7th, 2021, of 2104-24. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And this time is in local time. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And a quick conversion on that, so no conversion is necessary on that. So that's 9:04 p.m. and 24 seconds, correct?
That is correct.
And that is, in fact, the same time that we just saw Maggie's records that we just reviewed, correct?
That is correct.
All right. And so we see, if we look over in column I, J, and K, we do have cell tower information for the outgoing call from Alex's phone, correct?
That is correct.
All right. And then we see that this is code MO. And what does MO mean again?
Mobile originated.
So that means this account is placing the call, correct?
That is correct.
The account ending in 1227. All right. And it was placed to the number ending in 9041, correct?
That is correct.
All right. Looking below that, we're not going to review this line by line, but we see a number of other calls starting at about 9:04 p.m. And onward over the next hour or two of calls made from the 1227 account, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Okay. No further questions from the state. This was
by the defense.
Apologize, the technology is about with me here. So you work for Verizon?
That is correct.
And are you just deliver records to different people, or do you have a more, I say the word functional, but do you have a duties beyond just coming to court and delivering records?
Yes, sir. I work in executive relations, and I respond to subpoenas, other court records, and other type of cases that are associated with the executive relations team.
And obviously, you have to have some understanding of what you're delivering, what these things mean, right?
That is correct.
And as I understand it, I'm going to ask you in a minute what some things mean. So do you see, is this on? Is it up? Can you see that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So if you look down, any way to put that up there? No. Okay, never mind. Never mind. Never mind. So if you look down at 6-7, and if you look at, I'm trying to find some consistency here, those NAs in lines I and J on several calls above that, you see those?
I do.
What does that mean?
That means that the call was routed to voicemail.
So these are voicemails to Alec?
This record is for 1227. So based off of this record, 1227.
So like that call
is dialed the 9041, but it was routed to voicemail.
Okay, that's him dialing out. But what about if you go up to 6-7 at 2208? Is that a call out or a call in?
Is that the line that you have highlighted?
No, I'm talking about go up to 6-7, maybe go highlight. Okay.
Which one is it?
This one, either one of these right here.
Here?
Right, yeah, that's fine. Is that an outgoing or ingoing call? Incoming call?
That was mobile forwarded, so it was forwarded to voicemail.
I get it's forwarded to voicemail. Was Alec making it or somebody else was making it? Who initiated the call?
The 7845.
7845. So that was a call into Alec.
That is
and
correct.
And went to his voicemail.
That is correct.
And tell me where I look on this to see what's outgoing and what's incoming.
Row L or column L, M O, N T, and M F.
Okay. Okay, so M O means what?
Mobile originated.
That's he's the originating call.
That is correct.
Okay. M. What was the other one? MT. What does that mean?
Mobile terminated.
He was getting an incoming call.
That is correct.
And MF?
Mobile forwarded.
What does that mean?
Routed to voicemail.
So there's two of them mean go to, well, all of them mean voicemail. But what's the difference between MT, MO, and MF?
The direction of the call on Verizon's network.
Okay. Mobile terminated is he was making a call and it went to voicemail. MO is whoever called them initiated the call and went to voicemail.
No. MO means the seller subscriber in response to this search warrant made a phone call out.
M-O. So that would be Alex calling somebody went to voicemail.
Correct.
M-T is somebody called him and it went to voicemail.
Mobile terminated means that our subscriber in response to the search warrant is the one that the call placed to and could have answered.
And so one of them's coming in goes to voicemail. Another one's going out goes to voicemail. And MF is what?
No, sir. MO means mobile originated, a phone call transpired over our network. So we could have answered the phone call. It would show up as MO.
We being who? Yeah, on this, if Alec had answered the phone call, it would have?
It would be mobile terminated because our subscriber answered the phone call.
Oh, okay. So MO, he answers it. Am I losing my Are you losing me or am I losing you?
MO is mobile originated. So that means subscriber 1227 dialed out on Verizon's network.
Okay. And it was answered.
It could have been answered, yes. I mean, it was a call that transpired, and it would create a cellular connection, which would connect to a cell tower.
Okay. Not, and it wasn't answered by voicemail.
Which record?
The MO.
MO is mobile originated. Which
I got
means-
that. I got that part. I just want to know how you differentiate between these calls as one's going out, one's coming in, one's going to voicemail, either way.
MF is mobile forwarding, so
right.
That call would have went to voicemail.
Whether he was getting it or giving it.
Whether well, if making... someone were calling him,
right.
And he did an answer, then it would be forwarded to voicemail.
That's MF.
That is correct.
Okay, I got it. I finally get it. It took me a while. But again, I'm not a technological expert here. So, as you look at his calls... to the extent that they are made at certain times, you can figure out whether it's coming, going, or went to voicemail based on these records.
That is correct.
Now, can I see Maggie's phone? Just a second, please.
Is there any time yours?
Yeah, let's look at 6-7. Put 6-7 up high. Mm-hmm. So we went below 6-7.
Okay, so these are all calls. 6-7.
Okay, and these are phone calls starting at 7:02. And when we get down to... So tell me after that 7:02 p.m., 2302, that's when is everything after that? Well, when is the first time her phone goes to voicemail?
The 2340 call went to voicemail. Then the next call log after that is mobile originated, which means there were two outbound calls made. And then after those two calls, the rest of the calls were routed to mobile telephone number 9041's voicemail.
What's the last time she made a call out? What time 20. Is that in non-military time? 1950 is? What? 7 p.m.? 7:50 p.m. That's the last call she makes out, right?
That is correct.
What about the last call she received and answered?
Well, the two calls that were mobile originated, after that, the rest of them were routed to voicemail.
Yeah, but what are the two calls after that?
Could you please highlight?
It's complicated, I know, even for you.
Which one are you putting out?
Any...
on this one?
I don't know. So, we were up here mm-hmm. at 7:02, right? Mm-hmm. And then...
Those are all...
From her. Yeah, and the last one is at 8:00.
The last outbound is at 7:50.
At 7:50, okay.
That's connected.
Okay. And was there any inbound that was answered after 7:50?
There were not.
Okay, and one other thing. Just take that 7:50 and put it up at the top. It's called, in other words, I want to see the calls after that. Okay. And this end. Okay, that's okay. So, now go back down a little bit. Matter of fact, let's start with 6-9. Okay, can you scroll that up to the top? So how about look at this for 6-9 and 6-10, and it stops at 6-10. Are there any outgoing or incoming, or in other words, any outgoing call, first of all, from that phone after on 6-9?
Mobile telephone number 9041 did not place a call outgoing.
Okay, what about any incoming calls?
The rest of the records are incoming calls that were routed to voicemail.
Voicemail. So the calls coming into her, it routed to voicemail. No calls after on 6-9 or further.
Okay. That is
now,
correct.
Let me ask you this. Text messages, are they shown on these records? You charge for them, right?
They are in a separate record, yes.
Were you asked to produce those?
They are in the file.
They're in the file. It's just we're not looking at them here today.
That is correct.
And are they reflected on this kind of same format?
Very similar. They have a separate key to translate exactly what each column and row means.
Okay. But you've produced those text messages for all the phones we've talked about here today.
That is correct.
Were any other phone records subpoenaed from you other than the ones that have been put into evidence?
The only ones that I'm aware of is the ones that I have been I received the records of.
Did you ask for more records than these?
I did not.
Did the search warrant designate records other than these?
We would have to review the search warrant.
You don't have it with you?
No, sir.
Okay. Beg the court's indulgence for just a moment. Data retention policy for Verizon. How long do these records stick around?
Verizon maintains records for billing purposes for around 18 months. In response to a subpoena or search warrant, we do keep the detailed records on file for those search warrants.
But absent somebody serving a search warrant, after 18 months they're purged?
We no longer have that information on file, typically.
Does anybody have?
I mean, the billing information would be available, like through My Verizon, where you could go and look at your bill.
But this kind of information would not.
That is correct.
Okay, and when you indicate these calls went to voicemail, how long does a phone ring before it kicks into voicemail?
There's no set time.
Who sets it?
Well, it depends on how long it takes the network to locate the call. So when you hear a ring, when you're dialing someone, it's really just the network trying to locate. So the phone itself may never ring if the network can't find you.
And that may take two or three or four rings?
It could take two, three, up to six.
So when my wife accuses me of being impatient and hanging up on her before she gets to answer the phone, you just told me it's because the network, many instances, has not connected with her phone yet.
The network is locating your phone. When you hear the ringing, the network is locating where you are on the network.
And that could take a while. And so if I'm hearing five rings and figure she's not going to answer it, I don't want to leave a voicemail, I hang up. And so there's no voicemail. It's just an incomplete call on your records.
Well, I mean, if she didn't answer your phone call and let it go to voicemail, then it would ring out if the network.
Maybe I don't want to leave a voicemail. It's rang four or five times. I hang up before she can get to the phone.
Sure.
That solves a mystery. Thank you.
One quick question, Your Honor. Just to clarify, when the Verizon records indicate that a call is routed to voicemail, I believe you previously testified that could mean the phone itself rang, correct?
That is correct.
But there's another condition the phone could be in as well. If the phone is turned off and someone dials that number, what would the Verizon record indicate?
It would route to voicemail.
And it would look exactly the same, correct?
Yes.
And there's no way to look at these records and tell whether a phone is off, just not answering, or potentially shut off or otherwise not connect us to the network, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Okay. That's all from the
statement. Thank you. What about if it's an airplane mode? Would the same thing happen? Goes to voicemail, right? Airplane mode, it doesn't ring, doesn't answer. It goes to, would it go to voicemail?
The network would still try to find where you're located. So if you're in airplane mode, the network may not know where you are, so it would still attempt to ring.
And these records don't give you any GPS location on phones, correct? You can't get that GPS.
According to the records that I've seen, they have the cell tower information, but not the specific GPS.
And cell tower information, depending on how many cells are connecting it, can be very, if you're in New York City and there are five cell towers, you can probably get it pretty close. But if you're in rural Colleton County or Hampton County, and there's one over here and maybe one way back there, it's much more difficult to find a specific location, correct?
Your Honor, the state's going to object. This witness is not qualified, an expert on cell tower location.
You know, you can say I'm not qualified to answer that.
Yes, sir.
That information.
Response if you want.
Senator, he can answer whether he's able to answer the question. However, he's not qualified as an expert.
I don't.
All right. You may answer the question if you can.
I would have no way of knowing. I'm not qualified as far as the triangulation of the cell tower information.
Is that what you were getting ready to say before he objected and said you weren't qualified, or is that something?
That would be a standard response.
You've never testified about location before.
Repeat the question.
You've never testified about what cell phone tower location means and how it's used.
I testify to the accuracy of the records that were provided.
Okay, thank you.
Call your next witness.
State calls Paul Manuel.
You affirm the testimony about to give the court in this trial shall be the truth, so help me God.
I do.
Please state your name for the record. Spell your last name loudly, please.
Paul David McManigal, McManigal.
Good morning, Mr. McManigal.
Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. Excuse me. Where are you currently employed, sir?
I am currently employed as a sergeant with the Charleston County Sheriff's Office.
All right. And what are your duties there entail?
I'm currently assigned to the United States Secret Service as a task force officer on the cyber fraud task force.
All right. And generally, in your work on the cyber crimes task force, what does that entail?
I'm a digital forensic examiner, so I'm responsible for gathering electronic data from computers, tablets, cell phones, DVRs, vehicle infotainment systems.
All right. And when you say task force officer for the state, for the Secret Service is a federal agency, is that correct?
That is correct.
But you're actually paid and are still an officer with the Charleston County Sheriff's Office, is that correct?
That's also correct.
All right. Okay. In this case, you provided some records in June of 2021 by an individual by the name of Dylan Hightower, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And what did he provide you?
He provided me with an electronic extraction from a cell phone that was extracted as binary data and not yet processed by forensic software.
All right. And when he provided that to you, did he tell you which phone it was from?
I believe he said it was belonged to Alex Murdaugh.
Okay. And that's the one he extracted from Alex Murdaugh on June 10th, 2021?
That is correct.
And what role, what did you do with that information that he provided you, or that data?
I was asked to redact potential client lawyer privileged information. By reducing it down to a certain time frame that was more pertinent to the case and potentially reducing any privileged communication.
And did you make the decision of what to remove and what not to remove personally?
I did not. The decision of what to remove was made by Price Summer with the Ninth Circuit Solicitor's Office.
And she's an attorney?
She is an attorney.
All right. And you then produced a redacted copy of the digital evidence, is that correct?
That is correct.
And you provided that back to Dylan Hightower?
That is correct.
Did you provide any further analysis to the data itself?
I did not.
Did you redact any call logs from that data you're providing?
Call logs were not redacted at all.
All right. Let's move on. You've also been involved in one other aspect of this case. And marked as State's Exhibit 299. Do you recognize that, sir?
I do.
What is it?
This is a chain of custody form from the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, which we commonly refer to as SLED.
All right. And do you see any handwriting on there that is yours?
I do.
All right. And what date did you sign that form?
June 9th, 2021.
Okay. And that form is related to what phone exactly?
There was a Apple iPhone 11 that was collected and brought to me by Special Agent Ryan Kelly with SLED.
Okay. And was that phone locked when he provided it to you?
It was.
Right. And did you, in your forensic investigation, did you attempt to unlock the phone?
I did.
Were you successful?
I was not.
And is that Paul's phone?
I believe it was, yes, sir.
Okay. All right. And at this time, State would move to Exhibit 299 to evidence.
No objection, Your Honor.
Submit it.
And I'm going to hand you what's been marked. I'm going to hand you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 274. This is going to be for ID purposes only. And let me ask you if you recognize that, sir.
I do.
And what is that?
This is the iPhone 11 that was brought to me by Special Agent Ryan Kelly in the SLED.
And that's the phone you attempted to unlock but were unsuccessful, correct?
That is correct.
All right. And I believe on that bag there's an orange sticker. Do you see that, sir?
Yes, sir, I do.
What is that orange sticker?
This is a sticker I place on devices that I have attempted to process or processed successfully.
Okay. And at this time, State's going to move to put this in as ID only.
Objection,
This time on the Andrew States Exhibit 298. Do you recognize that, sir?
Yes, sir, I do.
What is that?
This is also a chain of custody report from the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, SLED.
All right. And do you recognize your signature on that form, sir?
I do.
What date, did you sign that?
This is August 12th, 2021.
And what does that form signify?
This is the date I returned the phone to Special Agent Kelly.
Okay. And at this time, State would move to place Exhibit 298 in evidence.
Objection, no.
And so you attempted to unlock Paul's phone, correct?
That is correct.
And you were unsuccessful?
That is also correct.
Did you alter in any other way the data that was on Paul's phone during that time?
No, sir.
Okay. No further questions, you say.
Cross-examination.
Good afternoon, sir. My name is Philip Barber. I'm one of the attorneys for Mr. Murdoch.
Good afternoon.
I really just have one question. When you received this phone, was the battery completely dead?
The phone was powered off when I received it.
Did you charge the phone after you received it?
I did.
But do you know whether or not it was completely dead, battery dead? When you
received I do not recall if the battery was completely drained.
No further questions, sir.
Anything further?
Nothing from the state.
Thank you. You may step down.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, next witness.
Please go. State calls John Van Allen.
You affirm the testimony about to give the court in this trial shall be the truth, sir. You got.
I do.
Take a seat in your stand. State your name again for the record. Spell your last name.
Jonathan Van Houten, V-A-N-H-O-U-T-E-N.
Mr. Van Houten, where are you employed, sir?
United States Secret Service.
All right. And how long have you employed there?
This April will be 3 years.
All right. And are you currently a law enforcement agent?
I am not.
Okay. And you're a civilian employee of Secret Service?
I am.
All right. But you do have a background in law enforcement, correct?
Yes. I retired after 21 years with the Columbia Police Department as an investigator. For the last 10 years, I was assigned as a digital forensic examiner with the U.S. Secret Service.
Okay. And you were a task force officer?
Correct.
During that time?
Yes.
And you retired from the Columbia Police Department when?
April 20th, 2020.
Okay. And in this case, you were provided a phone by, I believe, Britt Dove. Is that correct?
Lieutenant Dove, correct.
I'm going to show you State's Exhibit 271. I want to see if you recognize this document, sir.
This is the SLED Law Enforcement, or South Carolina Law Enforcement Division chain of custody that was submitted to me by Lieutenant Dove.
All right. And do you recognize your signature on that form?
I did sign this one.
What day did you sign that form?
March 21st, 2022.
Okay. All right. At this time, State would move Exhibit 271 as evidence.
No objection, Your Honor.
Admitted.
Okay, I'm going to hand you State's Exhibit 272. Let me see if you recognize that, sir.
This is an evidence photo that I acquired of the device that was submitted to me.
You took that picture?
I did.
And do we see a sticker on the back of that phone?
There is a yellow sticker on the phone.
What is it? Can you read that sticker, please?
It's it appears to be some type of case number, evidence number, identified as an Apple iPhone, the model number with a SIM, and an agency case number.
And if you just read the case number and the item number.
7021-0204, item number 10.
Thank you, sir. This time, state moves exhibit 272 in evidence.
Okay.
All right. So I believe you said March 29th of 2022 is when the lieutenant general provided you that phone, sir?
March 21st.
Excuse me, yes, 21st. All right. And why did he bring it to you?
It's my understanding that the phone was locked and he SLED requested assistance of the Secret Service to unlock the device.
And at Secret Service, at that time, did you have tools available that could potentially unlock that phone?
Yes.
And did SLED have those tools, at least on that date?
At that time, they did not.
Okay. All right. And what tool did you use to attempt to unlock that phone?
For this, for my unlock attempt, I used a tool called Cellebrite Premium.
Okay. Cellebrite Premium is a way to potentially break into, locked phones, correct?
That is the only use for that tool.
And just generally speaking, how does a Cellebrite Premium attempt to unlock a locked phone?
It uses its proprietary software in an attempt to brute force the device.
Okay, what does brute force mean?
Brute force is if we don't have the code, we will attack the device, attack the data on the device to try to brute force the passcode to get the code for it to unlock the device.
And a device that's locked, why does it need to be unlocked for you to access the data? What underlying condition exists that prevents you from seeing the data?
Well, for Apple iPhone devices, there are two types of locks. There are before first unlock and after first unlock. Before first unlock is the phone is either powered down, it's been turned off and rebooted, or a code has been entered in too many times incorrectly. If you were to, an analogy for it, if you think of it as a bank vault, it is the before first unlock at which we are, have to brute force the device is like the big steel door.
Okay. And that underlying data is encrypted, correct?
Otherwise. Yes.
Okay. And you would not be able to read that data, correct?
I have to unlock the device to get to the data to decrypt it.
Okay. And so Cellebrite Premium, you said, attempted to do a brute force unlock, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And ultimately, was that attempt successful?
It was. It was successful because I generated a predefined dictionary to attempt first prior to the tool using its own dictionary.
Okay. And what do you mean by that? What does that mean?
Well, humans are creatures of habit. They like to use numbers that are relevant to them. Most people will use their date of birth, an anniversary, a child's birth, the death of a parent as the access code. So what we do generally is we get as many social engineered codes or dates that are relevant to the particular phone that we will attempt first. Once that attempt is no longer viable, the tool will use its own dictionary to start a hardcore brute force process.
And absent kind of getting lucky with a preceded number, if the Cellebrite Premium has to brute force its way through and unlock a phone, how long would that take?
So for a four-digit phone, if you had a four-digit numeric PIN code, we're limited to an attempt of 146, maybe 145 attempts per day. So a four-digit code has a maximum possible numeric value of 10,000 attempts. So at 146 attempts a day, it would roughly take a little over 2 months to 68 days to unlock that phone. Adding two extra numbers to a six-digit, going from a four-digit to a six-digit, there are approximately 1 million possibilities now. At 146 attempts per day, it could take upwards 19 years.
All right. Now, you said that you can only do 146 attempts a day, is that correct?
Based on technology at the time and current technology, technology is progressing, so it is getting faster.
Okay. Why is the software limited to just 146 attempts a day?
This is a security protocol chip built into Apple. It limits the time frame that somebody can attempt to brute force a device. The first is an average of one attempt every 15 minutes.
Okay. All right. But ultimately, you said you seeded several numbers into Cellbrite Premium to give it some potential guesses first before just start going through all the other numbers, correct?
Yes. Once I start the brute force process, there is an option for me to enter my own dictionary or numbers that are relevant, that I think is relevant to the user of the device. In this case, I entered a number that successfully unlocked the phone rather quickly.
Okay. And what was that number associated with?
I believe the number was associated with the date of birth of Paul Murdaugh.
Okay. All right. And so once you successfully unlocked the phone, what did you do with it, sir?
I notified Lieutenant Dove that the phone successfully unlocked. I advised him that I was going to be getting a full file system extraction since I still had the phone in my possession. Lieutenant Dove provided me with an external hard drive to place the extraction on, at which time I did.
Mm-hmm. So you did a full file extraction and placed it on a hard drive, correct?
Correct.
Now, did you examine the contents of that? Full file extraction.
I did not. SLED has their own examiners. We did the extraction for them, but they analyzed the phone.
And so the data you placed on a hard drive and provided to Brit Dove, is that substantially the exact same data that you extracted from Paul's?
It is.
Is it changed in any significant manner?
It has not.
I'm going to hand you State's Exhibit 273. Do you recognize that document, sir?
This is the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division chain of custody where I return the phone to Lieutenant Dove.
All right. And do you recognize your signature on it?
I do.
All right. And what date did you sign that?
March 24th, 2022.
All right. And you then provided Paul's phone back to Lieutenant Dove, correct?
Correct.
At this time, State would move to enter Exhibit 273 into evidence.
Okay. Submit it.
Okay. And I'm going to show you what's been marked as ID. I believe this is 274. Do you recognize that item, sir?
Yes, this is the phone I received.
Okay. And that sticker on the back?
It matches what the photograph that I took.
The photograph we put in evidence, the sticker on his phone matches that, correct?
It does.
Okay. All right, one last question, Mr. Van Houten. There have been a couple questions about Faraday bags in this trial. What is a Faraday bag, sir?
A Faraday bag is basically what it is a bag that shields electronic signals from entering or exiting the bag.
Okay. And what is the danger, by placing a phone in a Faraday bag, what is the danger you're trying to prevent?
We're attempting to prevent a remote wipe or a remote destruction of the data on the device.
Once law enforcement takes a phone into evidence or custody, are there other ways to prevent a remote wipe?
Absolutely. Powering the phone down completely, not leaving it plugged to a charger, removing the SIM card, or the easiest is to place the phone in the airplane mode. It'll disable the cellular data and the Wi-Fi signal.
And you said that the danger is the phone could be remote wiped.
Yes, somebody with the account username and password could log into the iCloud account and set a remote signal. That signal will remain on the tower or on the network until the phone is reactivated. So yes, somebody would have to have the username and the password to log in to commit that event.
Okay, and was the phone that you did an extraction of, was it wiped when you received it?
It was not.
Okay. Nothing further for the State for this
cross-examination.
questions, Your Honor.
Thank you. You may sit down. And we will recess until 2:15. Recess till 2:15. Please do not discuss the case.
And that's where that segment wraps up. After lunch, back to the courtroom. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our breaking updates, discussions, and audio from the courtroom as we bring it to you here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.